You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Monday morning in New York City. What is up? It is the Boomer and Geo program coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. 888-808-1019 is the number. If you are hearing my voice at 6 o'clock in the morning in New York, well, that means Boomer is not here. Well, I guess he could be, but he's not. It certainly means Geo's not here. Could be, but he's not. They are off golfing, as me and Geo were on Friday. So instead, right here on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, you get from MLB Network, from ESPN, from SNL. God, anything else? Danny Wetzelman joins me.
That's so annoying.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. The resume is long. You're kind for having me back. I'm so stoked to be here. I'm ready to rock with you for a couple of hours. And I'm just keeping the seat warm. Keeping it warm
so
this morning. Yeah.
That's what I'm doing, too, because the guys will be back tomorrow morning, and they're in for the rest of the week. It is interesting. We've got Rascona and Fliegelman here today and all week as well. Although, Brian, you're not with us all week, right? Just today and tomorrow?
Today, tomorrow, yep.
Today, tomorrow. And then we've got a roving cast of characters in there. But Fliegelman will be in all week because Alan Eddie are out the entire week. So it's kind of...
I texted Eddie this morning to make sure I could get in the building. He got back to me this morning. How kind was that? He's like, it's not me. Yeah. It's not me, which was so nice.
And he is out all week. Now, I walked in. If you're watching on TV, it looks a little ridiculous the way I'm dressed, only because I came in. I had my nice little collared shirt on. I saw a beautiful Boomer Esiason jersey, like, sitting on the chair. I felt like it was waiting for me. And since he wore the Phil Simms jersey on Friday, I figured, what the hell, I'll throw this on right over it.
It looks good.
It's almost, you know, Thursday night we have an NFL preseason game. Like, we're kind of there, which is scary.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like, you know, summer's ending, even though we haven't hit August yet. The idea that Labor Day is September 1st or whatever it is as early as it could be is kind of depressing. But football season is a fun time of year. It's kind of when you've got... And it's a good place to start with the baseball teams. You've got baseball really getting into the thick of things. You've got football starting, and it's a good crossover time. But I think, you know, baseball is a great place to start because I think we'll do the Mets maybe next hour, and we'll start this hour with the Yankees only because, you know, it is a very interesting week for them. They had the news of Aaron Judge. I guess it was Saturday morning. You had the loss on Friday night, I don't know what word I would use for Saturday's game against the Phillies. It just looked like they were playing in a fog. It didn't look great. It didn't end great. They win yesterday, and we'll get into the game in a moment. But I do feel like with the trade deadline coming up this week, and I know they've played 100 games. So this is silly to say this, but I really do think a lot depends on how they play this week against Tampa, given where they're at in the standings, leading the wild card. But you got teams right on their heels, like... What are the Yankees is the question I would have for you as I sit here on July 28th.
You know what's funny is I was asking that question in 22 and 23, and then I felt like last year they finally figured it out. We knew a lot more about who they were, and they were a lot more lovable. There was something about them. I was like, you know what? I really like this team. I feel like they have a chance. They have legs. And I was like, all right, this is going to be more consistent. Who's their identity? What do they want to be? They can't figure it out. I will say this, though. I think that if you're a fan of this team, you're just going to have to ride out a stomach ache for the rest of the year. The team that hits the most home runs in the league, the team that's going to have a front runner for AL MVP and Aaron Judge, because he's going to come back. That's not a team that doesn't get to October. So while they're still like maybe under the water, you know, when ducks like are kicking their legs, but they look calm above the water, that's what I feel like the Yankees are right now. They have way too many good things. Ryan McMahon was really good this weekend, right? They just traded for him and he's already made an impact for them. But I will say this, the splits without Aaron Judge, this team is not a winning ball club. They have to get him back. And if he gets back, then I do think they'll be okay. And Brian Cashman said that they're going to be aggressive, that he wants to make big moves. They still need help when it comes to their pitching, right? They want to get another starter. They need a guy that's going to eat some innings. And then they need a reliever, too. They need some help back there. It's going to be expensive, though, and it's going to be a really wild week.
See, and the word you just used right there is what, I don't want to say concerns me, but expensive. Teams know what other teams need. And, you know, yes, I agree with you. With Aaron Judge, to me, is the best. I've said it a million times, best player I've ever seen. I don't see Shohei Ohtani every day. I'm sure he'd be right up there, too, if I watched him on a daily basis like I do Judge. He is just out of this world, which we know. And I guess, you know, when you watch the Mets in April and May, they looked every bit the part of a World Series contending team. And then June came, and they just played lousy to the point where people thought the Mets were phonies. Like, they just weren't what we thought they were. And now, all of a sudden, they've played great again. And they looked the part again in a great weekend in San Francisco. I guess what I grapple with the Yankees is this the team that had that 6-7, whatever the lead was on Toronto, that has now given up 11 or 12 games in the standings on the Blue Jays? Or are they more what we've seen in the last, you know, 40 games? And now, that's not a huge sample size, you know, compared to the other 60, 65 games, but it's big enough. And, you know, I look at a team that's got the likes of Judge, Stanton, Bellinger, and let's say, Chisholm for now. Like, those, like, that lineup should be good. And they do. They lead the league. I think they're plus 95 in run differential. I think that leads baseball. So not like they don't score runs. I'm not saying that, but something still seems to be missing for me with this team. And now with the Judge injury, that's why I say if they have a bad week against Tampa, not that I'm expecting them to, I'm not saying that, but if they have a bad week against Tampa, they could find themselves on the outside looking in going into the trade deadline, like not in playoff position, which is bizarre to me to think where we were just 6 weeks ago with this team.
My biggest gripe is the sloppiness right now, right? The errors and what they've done against Toronto, too.
For sure.
In the games against Toronto this season, 12 errors have been committed, right? We know Jazz has been rough in July. We saw two errors. I was at the game on Friday watching that game, right? Mm-hmm. Will Warren makes an error. Then Paul Goldschmidt, who doesn't make errors, makes an error.
An Alonso-like throw.
Austin Wells overthrows the base runner trying to steal second base. Like, these are the things, like, that's where I'm like, this has to get cleaned up. Teams who win in the postseason, they don't make errors like this. They're not sloppy like this. They don't accept mediocrity like this. And you kind of saw it with Aaron Boone on John Boy, right? With Jimmy and Jake when he kind of let it rip. Yeah. Like, that's what I want to see. I don't really want to see the polite, like, we are good, we can be better, we need to clean it up. Like, at a certain point, you kind of got to put your foot down and scare them a little bit, because that's not going to fly. But I will say this, like, their pitching has been so bad this last month. It has been so bad. But with Ryan McMahon, pay attention. He's in the bottom of the lineup, right? Batting seventh. Lengthens the lineup. That's going to be a big deal. They've had nothing from the bottom of that order. It's been atrocious. And so Ryan McMahon is going to help them out in that regard. And I do think it's going to look a little bit better. It's going to feel a little bit better. When they get some kind of pitching help, that's also going to feel a lot better. And then in 10 days, when Aaron Judge comes back, this team is going to have to get it together. They're going to have to hold it together against Tampa Bay, right? Tampa Bay struggled a little bit. They've been good offensively. Their pitching has been uncharacteristic. And so the Yankees have to go take advantage of that. I think the thing about Tampa Bay people forget, too, is this team is only playing 16 home games from July and August, right, because of the weather. They've got to really take advantage of this moment and kind of capitalize, because they are behind right now in the AL East. The Blue Jays aren't giving that spot up. And then they're going to try to capitalize on that wild card spot. And there's a lot of teams. There's like nine teams in the American League that are vying for a wild card spot. And the deadline is on Thursday, right? 6 p.m. on Thursday. And there's a lot of teams who are going to be going for a lot of help. And if Brian Cashman doesn't stay true to his word, then I don't know what will happen to the Yankees.
Yeah, no, I don't either. And, you know, you mentioned, just to go back for a moment with McMahon, and you're right, lengthens the lineup for sure. Even watching the game yesterday, I think it was Joe Girardi that was in the booth with Michael Kay. And in that spot when they're down 2-0, and, you know, you kind of, you know, and I turned it on late. I got to the game, I think it was the bottom of the first or second, whatever it was, and it was already 2. I'm like, wow, it's 2-0 already. And the way they played Friday, I'm like, are they really? With Zach Wheeler on the mound, mind you, who had a horrible, he didn't pitch badly for the game, but he had that one horrible inning where he's hitting guys. But even Girardi said it, like, they need to come away with something here. And McMahon, who's been good defensively the first couple of games, that he gets the big hit that they need.
Aren't you inspired by that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good for a guy who just arrived on the scene to come up with a much-needed base hit in what was, I think, a pretty big spot for them. Because had they gone and got swept yesterday, and this is what I mean about this being a big week, I mean, I don't know, maybe the conversation's even a little more different this morning had they gotten swept by Philadelphia with, and, you know, you mentioned Judge, he'll be back in 10 days, and I don't doubt that, except that how many times have we seen the guy's going to be back in 10 days, and 10 days turns into 15, turns into 20, and I certainly hope that's not the case, and I don't want to paint that scenario. They need him back. Here would be my question, though. I mentioned, you know, Stanton's swinging a pretty good bat. He's been really good. When he comes back, is Judge going to go right back to the outfield? Or are they going to DH him? Then where's Stanton go? Nowhere. So there's just a lot of questions with this team. A team that, like I said, a month and a half ago, I thought was, you know, going to waltz into the postseason, and then we'll see what happens, of course. I sit here this morning, I'm not so sure. Depending upon what they do this week.
Well, Toronto's come out of nowhere. Nobody thought in the offseason they couldn't even sign Vlad Guerrero Jr. I was like, there's no way. They're dead in the water. And then they've risen above, and they've really taken that top spot. They've been the best team in all of baseball, and they have that 5.5 game lead right now. But I will say this. Like, I do think the season hinges on Aaron Judge. That's Captain Obvious. Sure. Saying that, but the splits are literally insane with and without him, right? Their batting average is down. Their runs per game are down without him. They have a losing record without him. Like, it's really rough. Plus, it's the captain, right? You mentioned they looked like they were in a fog on Saturday. There was a literal fog over New York City on Sunday, right? And I feel like that's, like, ominous. I feel like that's kind of telling. But again, like, a team that leads the league in home runs, a team that has a potential AL MVP on them, a team that has Max Fried, a healthy Max Fried.
Oh, I'm glad you brought him up.
That's a team that's going to the postseason. You might be crawling there. You're probably on all fours, like, getting kicked in the face, and you don't want to get to the postseason, but you're going to get there, because teams that hit that way, they get to the postseason. Now, what you do after that, I can't promise anything, but get your Tums.
I'm glad you mentioned Fried, because he was a guy, too, that, you know, in April and May, I sat here every day with Al in the morning, and I would say, you know, I'm kind of along the way of thinking, the way David Stearns handles the pitching in this day and age. Guys just don't pitch every 5 days anymore. Everyone always seems to get hurt. A starting pitcher, if they give you 5 2/3, we're celebrating like this. It was
pathetic.
This great start,
it's
which
pathetic.
It's not.
I hate it.
I agree. But Fried was the guy in April and May that was going out there and giving you 7 innings, and he was giving up a run, and his ERA was sub 2. I even think it was actually around 1. The last 4 or 5 starts, though, he has not looked like Max Fried. And we can talk Judge all we want, and he's a major part of this, obviously, but the pitching's got to be good. And, you know, Carlos Rodon, I mean, I can't figure that guy out either, because even yesterday you would look at his start and say, great in spots, still is susceptible to giving up these stupid home runs all the time. And even yesterday, you know, he didn't give you 8 innings. I mean, he gave you what he gave you. So I don't know that this rotation, that's why, again, this week to me is going to tell me a lot. I think if we're sitting here next Monday, I think we have a much better idea as to what they will be, depending upon what they do.
And I think the key too here is, okay, so if Judge is out for a moment, the offense is going to suffer a little bit, because historically they do. you have some good news coming, right? There is hopefully some relief guys coming back. You have Yarbrough, you have Cruz, you have Leiter Jr. Like, that's going to bring in reinforcements. The bottom line is, if you're going to make errors every game and give free passes every game, then you aren't going to win. And guess what? You don't even deserve to win, because you're playing at a standard that is so far below the New York Yankees. Like, I don't know if the facial hair is getting in the way of the ball, but like, to me, this isn't who they are. They can't rely on Aaron Judge. He is a presence. He is the most important person on that team to me. But if you're going to fall below the standards, then none of it matters anyway.
That is very true, especially with, as you point out, all the teams that are kind of right up their butt in the division.
Literally.
You know, like the Red Sox are right there. Don't look now, but here comes Texas. Seattle has
been
there.
With the best pitching staff. Texas, yeah. With the best pitching staff.
And even yesterday, I forget who started, but they, another one of these games where they only give up a run. You've got DeGrom, who has been great. Evaldi's been great. Like, Texas is for real, and I know they're still on the outside looking in, but that's a team that they're proven. They won a couple of years ago, and as you sit here now, late July, would you be shocked if we're, you know, in 2 months and the playoffs begin and then the Texas Rangers have claimed one of those? I wouldn't be. That's why I think, you know, for the, if we're going to put the division for the moment, and, you know, I don't want to hear that you can't make up 5.5 games. They can. But as we sit here today, it certainly looks like it's the Blue Jays division to lose with this 5.5 game lead. So if you dumb it down now to the wild card, it is going to be a grind to make sure that you finish ahead of these guys, especially without Judge for the next couple of weeks. And like we say, starting rotation hasn't been, it just hasn't been great. Now, I would like to give a little props to Devin Williams, because, and we'll get to the Mets in a little while, but while Edwin Diaz continues to give you diarrhea when you watch him come in the ninth inning, Devin Williams yesterday against a very good Phillies lineup, you know what? No issues, a nice ninth inning, and maybe he starts to get on track too, because they're going to need it somewhere. If you're not going to get length out of your starters, you're not going to get great starting pitching, though I do think it'll get better, that bullpen has to be lights out. It has to be. And the back end, real, when they have the lead, you can't be giving up the lead. And I thought yesterday was a nice adjudicated-free ninth inning.
I like it. I like to give him some love. I think that we're in this era. Like, let me give you a little analogy, right? We're in an era where you can get anything on your phone at any time. You can Amazon Prime anything. You can Uber Eats anything. You can literally have what you want and find out information exactly when you want it. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to process and acclimate and figure things out. And in Devin Williams' case, he has been one of the best closers and relief and high leverage pitchers in the game when he's healthy. And he's coming to this team for the first time and he's scuffling and it's not great. But, like, hold on a little faith. We still have months to go in this season, and we know who he can be. So I feel like we're so quick to write guys off. Like, let me mention Anthony Volpe for a second here too, right? Volpe is a kid who I got to cover in high school. I've known him for a really long time. His defense has always been first. He's been a defense guy first. What you're seeing from him this year is below the standards. It is really hard to watch. He knows that. Everybody knows that. This is a kid who won a gold glove. He only spent 3 seasons in the minor leagues with COVID in between, right? This kid's never taken a day off. He's never been benched. He's never been sent back down to the minors. Give him a second. If they can hold it together with some glue and a little gum and, you know, whatever's on the street outside on Hudson, like, give him a second and maybe they'll show you that they can figure it out. Like, don't write them off yet.
And he did hit some home runs. He has looked better offensively since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And maybe, starting to turn it around. All right, we've got a lot to do. We have CeeLo coming in after this with all the sounds from the weekend. We will get to the Hall of Fame stuff at 6:45 or your calls, either way.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 25 after 6. It is the Boomer and Geo program, built for Tough Studio, 888-808-1019. Danny and Jerry in for the guys, who will be back tomorrow. Alan Eddy off for the... It's very interesting. CeeLo, how are you?
Hi, good morning.
Hey,
how about
CeeLo?
Good morning, Danny.
Hey.
Good
how about
you?
The fact that Al was in Montana last week, comes back for a week.
Yeah.
Has, I'm not going to say where, but he's got a trip where he's flying.
He did mention it.
Oh, he did.
We talked about it on Friday's warm-up show.
Yes. So
actually, that might have been off the air. So
okay, well, he's flying somewhere this week.
Yes.
Quick, just for like 2 or 3 days.
Yes.
Comes back to work, and then he's got to get on another plane as we go to California.
And none of these three flights you're discussing are short flights.
No, none at all.
They're not.
They're across the country.
Is he wearing compression socks? There have to be compression socks involved, right?
Long-distance
flights? Come on.
I think he needs something more for what's going on between the ears. But,
he's been taking...
Oh, okay.
Yes.
For the flights?
No, for life.
Oh, for life. All right.
And I do think that will move over to the flights as well.
Okay. Well, definitely, but at least before he enters an airport, because I know that was a problem for him before they flew to Montana.
And, of course, the fake promise, I will never fly again.
Yeah, right.
Except next week and the week after that.
Yeah, right. Well, listen, the trip out for you guys to, to Pebble Beach is a little different.
I agree.
That'll be a different vibe. But this one, it's interesting you say very, very short trip, quick flight for this week coming up. That was his doing, though.
Oh, no, I know
that. Significant
I know.
Other wanted to lengthen that trip.
I know.
So he talked his way out of that.
And I understand both sides.
Yes.
And I think they made the right decision.
I agree. Yeah.
So, all right, Chris, good morning. Lots to do. What do you got?
All right, brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. You guys started with the Yankees. We'll do that as well, as they got a much needed win Sunday to avoid a home sweep at the hands of the Phillies.
Williams ready. 3-2. Two out. Nobody on. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Victory for the New York Yankees. A 4-3 final. Devin Williams closes it down, and the Yankees get a game in this series.
That's Dave Sims here on The Fan, as Williams shut the door with his 16th save. We talk about all the struggles he had, and I know he wasn't the closer the whole year. Technically, he's only got one blown save this year. That was April 25th, but he's obviously had his struggles here and there along the way, but it's been better.
Only one blown save officially?
Officially,
that's interesting.
He's had some games, obviously, where he's given up some runs, and it didn't go so great for him on the back end.
He had like a bad 10-day stretch where it seemed like every time you put him out there, he just struggled.
April was not kind to him.
Right.
But it's been better since, maybe not the eye-popping numbers that we've grown accustomed to seeing from him as an all-star reliever in the National League.
The one thing I do think, though, and I know we'll get to it with the Hall of Fame stuff, I really do feel like Mariano Rivera just screwed us all up.
There's no doubt about that.
It's not only that he was so good for so long.
Yeah.
And then you think when a guy comes in, and even like a guy like Diaz, who's really good, yet you sit there and you watch him, and it's like...
Most relievers are like that.
I know, I know.
We're built different spoiled. These days. Yeah. Like, across the league, they're built differently.
Uh-huh.
That is so old school. Like, it'll never be like that again.
We definitely were spoiled by Mo, no doubt about that.
No doubt.
The big swing in this game, off the bat of newcomer Ryan McMahon, game-tying two-run double in the second, as the Yanks plated their four runs in that frame against Phillies ace Zach Wheeler, and Carlos Rodon, who allowed a couple of homers in the top of the second, was able to give the Yanks 5 1/3 for the win.
Though Schwarber almost got him.
He did, off the bat.
That guy is so good.
He felt like that's going to be gone.
And even looking at his reaction, it's like, oh, thank God.
Yes, and I happened to be in the car listening to that, and I think off the bat, Dave and Susan were a little concerned.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Bellinger's got a beat on it, so that worked out okay. McMahon, 2-for-3 at the plate, made a handful of sparkling defensive plays over the weekend, showing off the glove right away following the trade from Colorado on Friday. Aaron Boone certainly liking what he has seen thus far.
Yeah, impact. More good plays. I mean, the play he makes on Turner and kind of the ease with which he does it was pretty impressive. A couple other good ones. And then obviously a big hit there.
And the dude's got himself an arm.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. I knew he could play the position. I did not realize he had a rifle of a right arm.
He sure does.
Worth it too, by the way, the package that the Rockies got back. Worth it to get a solid third baseman because now the left side of your infield's a little more shored up, right? Yeah. Maybe Anthony Volpe has a little more confidence on that side. And you still have to get more pieces, and you didn't have to give up anybody that was huge in your farm system.
Yep, and he's what they did with Jazz last year. This is a guy who's not a rental. He's got a contract not just for next year, but the year after as well. So it seems like he's going to be sticking around for a while. Take you back to Saturday, the imaging results on Aaron Judge. Flexor strain in the throwing arm, but the UCL in the elbow said to be intact. So he's hit the IL for at least 10 days. Then they'll see where he's at. Originally felt the discomfort making a throw in Toronto last week, but it worsened, and he finally waved the white flag on Saturday.
Yeah, just not being able to throw the past couple of days. Kind of wanted to take it through the off day, see how it went. And then I was pretty adamant about playing yesterday. And, then I think it just kind of came down to a point where, if I got to make a play for the team and not be able to do it, that would kind of hurt.
Did this start in Toronto? Remember the whole...
He felt it on a throw in Toronto.
But I'm saying, that was the first time?
According to him, yeah. And I remember watching that. You saw him kind of wince.
And in the corner.
Yes. So obviously that worsened a bit, though he said he's been able to swing the bat just fine to this point and may resume doing that even during this IL stint. So you've got talk of Giancarlo Stanton potentially playing the outfield when Judge comes back if he needs to DH.
You know what? I hope he does. I heard, and he's not wrong. I heard McMonagle on the way in saying he can't move, meaning Stanton. I have not felt that, though, this year. I mean, last year, yes, he's tippy-toeing around third base and getting thrown out by 30 feet.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be that brittle right now.
You know it can happen quickly.
I do.
All of a sudden, I don't want him out there.
I do.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to break. I want him in a bubble. I want him to stay at the plate. I don't want to see him put a glove on his hand.
But you're not going to sacrifice Judge at bats to just keep Stanton as the DH,
So yeah.
That's the rub right now. That's what they're going to have to figure out over these next couple of days leading into the deadline. But how do they want
to
play?
But to that point, though, I want Stanton in the lineup, too.
Well, yes.
That's the problem.
But you're not. Yes, it is the problem. That's why I think they're gonna. They said, look, we're gonna have
first base.
They're gonna have him start to do some defensive work to see if it's possible. I don't know what that means.
What would you say in all your guys' years of watching baseball was the worst player that was moved from a position to try to play a different position? Because I think right off the bat, wasn't Todd Hundley a brutal left fielder?
The worst player.
Yeah.
So you mean going from catcher to left field?
Anywhere. Yeah, Todd Hundley went from catcher. They put him in left field. That was when they got Piazza, I believe. And he was terrible in left field.
I don't know. This year, I mean, I haven't watched a lot of their... I know early on, the Jose Altuve left field experience...
Altuve is my number one right now.
...was not going great.
I'd like to reverse that experience and take it back. I didn't see the vision. I mean, the Astros still have been really good, even despite that. But that's like unbelievable that they would take a 5-foot-nothing dude, put him in left field, who's never played the outfield before. Like, we're going to be fine.
I know spring
everything's
going to
be fine.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was awful.
Know that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'd have to give it some thought. I feel like the Yankees in recent years have been playing a lot of guys out of position or at least away from their natural position. We've seen that with Jazz since he's come here.
Oh, sure.
So there's probably some examples.
But Jazz wasn't a butcher at third base. He wasn't great.
No, not a butcher. No.
But he wasn't horrible either. He was okay. Didn't make the great play. Yeah. Sometimes the throws were not great. I get all that.
It's trending in the wrong direction.
Yes. But I also didn't feel like a ground ball. I was praying he would field it.
Right. This is less an answer to your question because these guys play there, but Schwarber and Castellanos in the outfield for the Phillies.
That's fair.
Lucas Duda in the outfield was pretty bad
when the Mets tried that.
That's a good one. Very nice. All right, so you got McMahon and Ahmed Rosario already aboard as far as trade deadline is concerned. Tonight, the Rays come to town. They've been struggling. Losers of 4 straight, 6 of 7, but they always give the Yankees trouble. So we'll see what gives there. You've got Cam Schlittler making his third big league start, opposed by Drew Rasmussen. Pre-game coverage here on The Fan and the Free Odyssey app begins at 6:25. Meantime, full marks to the Mets, completing a 3-game sweep out in San Francisco last night.
Swung on and crushed the opposite way to left. Ramos going back. Warning track wall. Out of room and gone. 3 rows deep and left. Opposite field. Go ahead. Solo shot for Juan Soto.
Pat McCarthy, Odyssey Mets Radio. The home run ball was jumping in San Francisco a bit last night as Soto turned around a 99-mile-per-hour fastball in the outer half there and powered it out to left for his 25th homer of the season. The Mets went on to beat the Giants 5-3 after Edwin Diaz loaded the bases in the ninth. Walk, hit batter, walk. But as he often does, all of a sudden... It clicked in.
It's just, can he do something stress-free once?
I mean, you know, it takes a while sometimes for him to find his rhythm and his groove. Final seven pitches, all fastballs, six strikes as he blew away Willy Adames and Matt Chapman, who had homered twice earlier in the game off of Kodai Senga.
It is funny how when you get in the part of the lineup where you're like, uh-oh, here's trouble. Like, those are two players, I think. Kind of like earlier in the game with the Mets when they, you know, they kind of turned the order up and turned the order over. They got guys. That, you want to talk about a thing that's going to kill the Mets come postseason? If they can't figure out how to drive guys in when they're on second, and, oh, my God, it is like torture watching them try to get base hits with runners in scoring position.
Well, thankfully, they had Ronnie Mauricio last night, his first four-hit game in the big leagues, which included a long homer into McCovey Cove, which tied the game at three in the, was that the seventh or the fifth?
Seventh.
Seventh, yes. Just ahead of the Soto home run, which we just heard. Here's Carlos Mendoza on Mauricio's night, which included a couple of doubles as well.
Incredible, you know, and it's nice to see it, man. He continues to get comfortable. He continues to have really good at-bats, controlling the strike zone, and then doing damage pitches in the strike zone.
Mauricio, in his own words, excited about going deep into the drink beyond the right field wall and seats there.
Oh, it's feeling really, really good because I saw a couple home runs of Barry Bonds hitting to the ocean, so that's feeling
the ocean.
Yes, into the ocean. Yeah, well, you know, close enough.
Yes, of course.
And I guess Soto revealed Mauricio had told him all weekend he really wanted to hit one into the water. So
no,
mission
he got
accomplished.
One.
He Yep.
And a big spot, too.
And maybe, who knows, you know, last year was Vientos who came on in the second half and rode the momentum into the postseason. Obviously, he is not hit near.
Beatty and Vientos, you can't figure out.
No, I know. And they've had some big hits here and there. You know, Vientos had the big hit in Saturday's game.
But then also had the spike ball to second base.
Yeah. He doesn't play. We talk about a butcher in the field.
Yeah, I know.
He hasn't homered since late May. And I know he missed time.
Hasn't done a lot.
No.
I think, too, the veteran guys being inconsistent does not help the younger guys try to stay on path, right? You have Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor in the last 2 weeks who are hitting below 200.
Yeah.
It is ugly right now. So it's the other guys that are stepping up. But if those guys, the veteran guys, could actually stay consistent, play the way you know they can, I do feel like it would take a little pressure off. And we wouldn't be like, Vientos isn't playing the way we know that he can. Beatty's doing this. Mauricio, what are you doing? Like, I feel like it would take a little pressure off.
They can
hide
it a little bit more.
Yes.
Yeah. Starling Marte, a couple more hits. He's 13 for his last 26, so he's hit well since coming back from injury. And Francisco Alvarez had a two-hit game. He's now hitting all five he's played since returning.
Well, he had the double in front of Mauricio, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yesterday.
He's been swinging it well since he's come back, which is a good sign, which is what exactly they were looking for from him going back to Syracuse and kind of hitting the reset button a little bit. Good job out of the bullpen as well after Senga labored through five innings, 92 pitches, five walks.
But that's also the problem across the board with baseball, too.
Yes.
I mean, there are some, thank God for the pitch clock, because some of the, even watching Wheeler yesterday, who I'm not going to lie, I was looking forward to watching him because he's been great this year. Even him, he was having trouble with that slider or sweep or whatever the hell we call it these days. And it's just it feels like every at bat's 3-2 and Senga's walking the ballpark. It's like that fourth inning was just like, I don't know. I'm sorry, five innings just ain't gonna cut it.
Well, they got through in this one, and you had the Met debut for Gregory Soto, who I thought looked pretty good. He's got some nasty stuff. That's the one acquisition the Mets have made thus far over the course of the last few days. Seven in a row now. They go to San Diego. Series opener with the Padres tonight. It's a 9:40 first pitch on Mets Odyssey Radio. You got Frankie Montas and Dylan Cease, who I was talking with Fleeks, another year where his name's coming up in the trade deadline.
Yeah.
He's been not good. 3-10. ERA north of 4.5.
What's his contract? What'd they give him?
This is the final year. I think it's 13.5
He's
million.
He's in the last year already?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah. Unless I read that wrong. Fleeks, I have that right?
He's a free agent at the end of the year.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, so that would be a rental situation. Mets
I don't
are,
mind the rental situation, but you can't give up anybody of significance for a rental.
Depends on who that rental is.
Not him.
Agreed, yes.
You know what's unfortunate is Seth Lugo is off the market.
Yeah.
So to me, he was the best free agent starting pitcher, potentially, right? He's with the Royals, having an incredible season, finished tops in Cy Young voting last year, and the Royals are like, no, 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 everybody, he's ours, and I think the reports are that he's re-signing. They're giving him an extension right now, but that was my number one pick.
2 years, $46 million are the reported numbers there, so he's obviously done well for himself in Kansas. He's 35 already?
Yeah. No, I can. I believe that.
Yeah. He's only been starting for 3 years.
Right. He kind of gets lost in translation there a little bit. As far as the outfield market, the Mets are reportedly looking to potentially upgrade in center field. And Luis Robert Jr. from the White Sox is a name that they're apparently interested in scouting. And he's got a couple years left on his contract, so we'll see if anything comes of that over the course of the next couple of days. Let me hit you with a couple of clips from the Hall of Fame speeches yesterday up in Cooperstown, as you had C.C. Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, Billy Wagner. I think it was it Dave Parker's son, I believe it was, who spoke on his behalf, which was really nice. Here was the one from C.C. talking about, obviously, the big decision free agency-wise to join the Yankees after that 2008 season.
We said to ourselves, we'll play anywhere on the planet as long as our family is together. When Amber and I were kids, things in our family were inconsistent. Now we had three kids of our own, and we wanted to plant roots. That's what we talked about. That's how we made the best decision we ever made. 11 months later, she was there in the Bronx as we won the 2009 World Series.
I was saying this to Fleegs. I mean, taking nothing away from these guys. Some are better on script and better off the cuff. I feel like CeCe's more of an off-the-cuff guy.
But you also know they're going to write it because...
You don't have to, though.
You don't have to, but I think you're expected to be up there for more than 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And if you don't write it, I mean, I guess you could have bullet points to make sure you hit everything you want.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
That's so much pressure on
and
those
then
guys.
It was hot. He was dripping sweat in his forehead.
Right? I don't know what it was like there. I can't imagine it was any better there than here.
Yeah.
But it was hot as hell with the humidity
yesterday.
Yes. Yeah, it was.
And they're in full suits. Real quick, him giving love to Amber. Like, Amber's paved the way. She's doing her own thing now, like, in the agent world, killing it. But I can't imagine being a wife, being a mom to their sons, and managing all of that while CC is trying to get back on track. CC is pitching for a World Series. Like, I love that he gave her all that love.
And we didn't really get into it Friday when I was here. I know you were out. They had the car breakdown on the way up there. If you saw that on social media,
no.
Sabathia's were driving to Cooperstown. CC posted they broke down on the side
of the
road.
Odds?
Got the selfie with his boys, and they're all posing, and there's Amber in the back on the phone, probably arranging for some sort of fix or alternative transportation.
I can't imagine they were driving an 83 Datsun.
No, I don't think so.
What happened?
I don't know.
Car broke down on the way up.
Cars don't break down.
I don't know. It could
be
anything.
We don't know if it was new. You know.
For all you know, it was a flat tire. He said broke down.
Oh, that's different.
I don't know what it was. And he jokingly said, hey, is anyone headed up this way? You know, apparently a lot of people reached out, but they did make it there. Tiki Barber was up there.
Was he really?
Yeah, I saw a picture of CeCe with...
Evan drag him up there?
No, it was CeCe with Andy Pettit, Jeter, obviously. Tiki and Michael Strahan. Nice photo
awesome.
They all took together.
Iconic.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a bunch
Very
of
nice
legends
photo.
Right there.
100%. Yeah. I thought, though, Ichiro was the star yesterday. I mean, he stole the show, did the whole speech in English, and was cracking jokes. This is a little bit longer just before I go, as he took a little jab at the one voter who did not vote for him to get into the Hall of Fame.
Baseball taught me what it means to be a professional, and I believe that is the main reason I am here today. Not because my skills are better than others. 3,000 hits or 262 hits in one season are achievements recognized by the writers. Well, all but one view.
Oh, they cut off the best part. That was in our baseball folder there. He then said, that invitation to come join us for dinner at our house has now expired, which was great.
That's I guess you didn't listen to it before you came in.
Well, I had the raw in my work folder, Jerry, as
Got
you know,
yes.
and I wanted to play that real quick. I'm like, oh, great. It's in our cut up in our baseball folder, but they cut off the best part.
Right,
so I can bring that part to you a little bit later on, and I will have some football sound.
Great.
Jameis Winston at the mic
that
at Giants camp.
Just
gold. So
he's
hopefully they don't
fun.
Have to trade him. If Jackson Dart has a good camp, they might be like, you know what? We don't need this Winston guy. Let's send him somewhere else.
Well, we shall see. That's a good transition, though. We're going to do the Hall of Fame stuff when we come back.
Because
there are a couple of things from Sabathia and Ichiro we will get to, and then we'll get more from you next hour. Thank you very much.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores
and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You Must Remember This is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 10 in front of 7. It is Danny and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. The guys will be back tomorrow. So CeeLo, before he was done with his last report, or his first one, was playing a couple of clips from CC Sabathia and Ichiro. And so they had the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, and Billy Wagner went in as well, and a couple of others. But I'm keeping it local, obviously, specifically with those three. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and talk about who's a Hall of Famer, who's not. They got voted in. They're all Hall of Famers. Congratulations. Enjoy. When I think about, though, Sabathia and Ichiro specifically, two things. I'm curious, like, if I mention to you CC Sabathia, what's the first thing you think of?
Dominating.
Or how about this?
Relentless.
Yes, all great. Yes. Moments, though. Like, if I asked you for a CC Sabathia moment or, like, picture in time, what would you think?
I mean, I think his tenure in Milwaukee.
Wow, we're lockstep.
Yeah.
Isn't that
his
something?
His tenure in Milwaukee is something I think like that people will go back on YouTube. We were just talking about YouTube. It is iconic. Obviously, his time with the Yankees and his World Series, of course, but Milwaukee stands out the most to me.
I agree. And yeah, it was literally half a season. And I'm not saying him winning the World Series and all the great years with the Yankees wasn't 100%. But I'm with you on that. When I think of CC Sabathia, the competitor,
yeah,
I think about when he got traded from Cleveland to Milwaukee. He pitched every 5 days and at the end was pitching like every 3 or 4 days.
Yes.
And think about this day and age of athlete or even, well, yeah, athletes and agents. There's no way that that would be allowed today because he was going to be a free agent. And to think that he was going to tax himself for a team that he may or may not be on next season.
Yeah.
You just talk about how much he wanted to win has always stood out to me as one of the cooler athlete things I think I've ever seen.
I think we're missing that. Like, guys are a little soft. Guys are a little precious. We're being a little too careful. And I'm glad, like, CeCe's had this moment. His speech was really good. I feel like he has been all over baseball, by the way. He's stayed really relevant. He's a huge reason that the Hank Aaron tribute happened in Atlanta on the field with all the incredible technical aspects. But, like, what CeCe did for the game is something that we don't see anymore. And I hope people look up his highlights and they're like, wait a second. This guy was going 3 to 4 days, not every 6 days. This guy didn't care when he pitched or what role he was in or how he contributed or how many pitches he threw. All he cared about was winning for the team. Like, we need a little more of that and a little less, well, I can't go more than 5 innings because blah, blah, blah. Like, that to me is so lame. The sport is great because of what CeCe did. Like, he's in the upper echelon of guys like that. I wish we could get a little bit more of that. And, yeah, he's iconic.
And I would have to, I don't know that we could go back that far. Maybe we do have the audio, but I would love to go back to, like, a station, you know, like us, or maybe if you were in Milwaukee back in the day, to think about how, you know, it was like, forget about free agency right now. Like, I want to win. And damn it, give me the ball. Whenever you throw me out there, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to perform. And then he was fabulous with the Yankees. But for me, just as a baseball fan, I will never forget that moment in time with Sabathia. And then with Ichiro, you know, I just think the longevity, the 3,000 hits, fabulous. You heard him mention the 260-something hits in a season, which is crazy in this day and age. But when I go back and think of Ichiro, What I see a guy who played 162 games, 159 games, 161 games, 162 games, 150. And even when he came here with the Yankees, I think I have to go back and look. Mike, can you, maybe Rascone, you know, he was what, 36? 30, he was not young when he came here. Was he 37 when he came to the Yankees? And he still was playing 150, 155 games for however many. I don't think it was more than three or four years with the Yankees. I forget what the number was. But like just a guy that was... You penciled him in every day, and he was always there. And the longevity of him, just incredible.
I think I was trying to look up, did he come to the league at 26 or 27, right?
He had to have.
Yeah, so he's in your upper 20s, right, and hasn't collected a Major League Baseball hit yet and still makes it into the Hall of Fame. And what he did, I mean, like, it was so easy. It was so effortless, and he also was beloved by everybody around him. But here's the thing, right? Here's the difference between an Ichiro and a CeCe and everybody today. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to do for this game to put your body and your mind and everything you're doing all day, every day? What sacrifices are you willing to make to get to that point? Not everybody is willing to do what Ichiro did or what CeCe did. And that's fine. Listen, the league has a ton of different guys in it. That's great. We can't all be like them, but that is the separator from a Hall of Famer to, you know, the Hall of Good. It's not the Hall of Good, right?
It's supposed to be Hall of Fame.
Exactly. It's the Hall of Fame. But what I loved is that he did his whole speech in English.
Yeah, it was
like,
pretty good.
I got chills. This guy who was notorious for not doing his interviews, right, not speaking English and dodging in that way, did his entire speech in English. I thought it was fantastic. And his sarcasm and his wit and all of those little things that sometimes get lost, you do not realize how hard that must have been for him, and he put it all together. I got chills watching it.
Yeah. No, it really was. It was pretty good. And in terms of playing every day, we are graced with the likes of Lindor. Volpe plays every day. Soto plays every day. So it's not like no one does it, but he did it every day for literally like 15 years, maybe even longer. We got time for a couple of quick calls. Carl and Mattawan. What's up, Carl?
Hey, good morning, Jerry and Danny. Love you guys together.
Oh, thank you. What's going on?
So I got a CeCe moment to share for you. Obviously, we all loved his time in Milwaukee. He was a horse that year. He killed it. And then he came to New York and he won. But I specifically remember when he gave up $500,000 bonus to defend Austin Romine, like he would with any of his teammates, and just threw at the next guy in the Tampa lineup, pointed at the dugout. You know, it was just he was an animal, you know, and I think, you know, you can be a great player. You can be, a great person on and off the field. But when you're a great teammate, too, that really stands out.
Yeah, he was, Carl, you're right. Total package. There's no question about it. You know, there are really good free agent signings, and then there are really good free agent signings. And this guy was everything that the Yankees were expecting.
You give up money. You're talking about a lot of money, a good chunk of change, right? No matter what player you are. And you're willing to do that for your teammates. Like, give me that guy all day, every day. That's a dog out there. And again, a little bit of a lost art. Like, there are guys in the league who will do that. There are guys who are playing every day. There are guys like David Peterson who's willing to play any role and do anything that the team needs, right? Especially in October. But they're not built that way anymore.
No, it is a different, and it's the money. The money has, and not maybe not in CeCe's case, but for most of these guys, it is the money. Anthony in Belleville, what's up, Ant?
Jerry and D-Wex, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, Ant, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up? You guys have more lineup changes than the Yankees do, every day.
Yeah. Hey, I knew you were going to do that.
Hey,
well,
you guys,
it's summer, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm joking, obviously. You and Gio played golf on Friday, no?
We did.
Did anybody get to go to the hospital?
No. I did not hit myself in the face with a golf ball. Gio did not pull out a shoulder. We were good. We were actually, we actually had a blast of a time on Friday.
Dan, it's good talking to you. You're like the judge coming back, you know? Hopefully, we'll see him soon.
All right, Ann. Thanks, man. Never know when you're going to get.
Were those
Anthony
predictions,
Belleville,
by the way, for your golf outing?
No. So, 2 years ago, golfing, I hit a golf ball off a tree right back in my face. There it is.
No, you didn't.
I did. Oh, absolutely. I was gushing blood. That is true. Yes. And Matt, if CBS Sports Network at some point, I'm sure they will put it up on the screen, the photo
of my
stitched up eye. But yes, that
Please
is very
put that
true.
Up.
Yes. And that is, there you go. That's how close I came to losing my eye.
Dude, you look kind of like tough though.
A little bit.
Nobody knows why you have those, you know.
Yeah, well, I told everybody.
You should see the other guy. That's what you're supposed to say.
The other guy was a tree. And that tree did just fine, and I felt like an ass. And went to the hospital, had to get stitched up, and it was what it was. So it was a tough day.
But you survived on Friday.
I did survive. Well, that and the fact that I have changed the way I play. If I am behind a tree, I will no longer ever.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.